Let's turn our Bibles to Ruth chapter 1, verse 19 through 21. So they both went until they came to Bethlehem. And when they had come to Bethlehem, all the city was stirred because of them. And the women said, "Is this Naomi?" She said to them, "Do not call me Naomi, call me Mara. For the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why do you call me Naomi, since the Lord has witnessed against me, and the Almighty has afflicted me?" Let's pray. Thank you, God, this morning. Thank you for waking us up, giving us this opportunity just to come before you, listen to your word, worship you, and pray to you. I pray that you would release your spirit in this time. Help us to hear from you. Help us to connect with you. And help us to pray for the things that are on your heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so just want to share briefly from the life of Naomi, actually. So the focus of this book, obviously, is the person of Ruth, but it begins with the story of Naomi. And Naomi actually has had a pretty hard life. If you look at chapter 1, beginning of chapter 1, you can see that where Naomi is living in Bethlehem, famine has come into the land. And so Naomi and her husband, Elimelech, they have to move to a foreign land. And so they're about 10 years living in a foreign land, living in Moab. And I think being a church here in Hong Kong, we're in an international church, English-speaking church, we can imagine what immigrant We don't have to imagine what immigrant life is like. We know what immigrant life is like. For a mom, for a wife that accompanies the husband to a new country, not knowing the language, and you know, a lot of us come from immigrant families, that's a tough life. So she's going through a tough life as an immigrant wife and in living in a foreign land because of famine. And while they're in this foreign land, Elimelech, her husband, dies. We don't have the exact timeline, but we know that the scripture tells us they were about 10 years in this land. Elimelech dies, and so, I mean, let's just imagine, you know, maybe Naomi is there. They have two sons, but who knows how old the sons were when Elimelech dies. So just imagine, you know, Naomi, a single working mom trying to survive, trying to provide for her two kids, make sure that, you know, they grow up, they have what they need. Eventually, the sons grow old enough, and I believe, I mean, it doesn't specify in the story, but the sons are probably old enough to now support the family, support Naomi. But we read on, and the two sons also die. You know, again, we don't know the exact timeline, but within the 10-year period, her husband dies, and her older son and her younger son, they both die, leaving their two Moabite wives and leaving Naomi. And maybe by this time, Naomi just feels too old, and she's just like, I can't support myself. I can't support my daughters-in-law. And so she decides that she's going to move back. She hears that the famine has lifted in her hometown. And so she sends her daughters home. She says, you know, what are you going to do coming back with me? Go back home. One of the daughters-in-law goes back, Orpah. And Ruth, she's the other daughter-in-law, she decides to stay. And so that's why this book is called Ruth. And it's about Naomi and Ruth coming back to Bethlehem. And this incredible story of how God moves behind the scenes in their lives to provide for them, to lead Ruth to a really godly man, Boaz. Eventually, they bear children, and she becomes the great-grandmother of King David. And so that's the story, but I want to focus back on the story of Naomi. Let's just try to identify with Naomi this morning a little bit. It sounds like she had wealth while she was in Bethlehem, because she says in verse 21, I went out full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. So maybe they had wealth here, and with the famine, they could just see that they were going to run out of things. You know, maybe they had the wealth, and that's why they were even able to move to another country. But she comes back empty. I went out full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. So when she comes back, the people that know her, they are excited. They say, hey, this is Naomi. Isn't this Naomi? Naomi is back. And she says, don't call me Naomi anymore. Call me Mara. The meaning of Naomi is pleasant. So don't call my life pleasant. Don't call me pleasant anymore, because now I'm bitter. I'm full of bitterness. My life is bitter. Mara means bitter. Naomi means pleasant. Mara means bitter. So don't call me pleasant. Call me bitter. Not just my life has become bitter, but God made my life bitter. God made me from Naomi to Mara. Right? Don't call me pleasant. Call me bitter. God brought me back empty. He afflicted me. This is also what she says. God brought me back empty. He afflicted me. He brought this misfortune on me. That's what the NIV says. He brought this misfortune on me. Call me Mara. Call me bitter. God has been bitter with me. You know, in her choosing to take on herself this name, this new name, bitter, she's embracing basically her bitter situation. She's saying, this is now who I am. She's in agreement with what's happening, and she is say, agreeing. She's embracing the bitterness. She says, my life is bitter, God is bitter, and in a way she's speaking forth destiny, right? So my life will stay bitter. No longer am I called Naomi. No longer am I called pleasant. Now, who I am, my identity is I'm bitter. My life is bitter, and God is bitter. He's taken all this away from me, and it's going to continue in this way. Continue in this way. There's two things to note here in this story. When you read on in the book, you actually find that she is never actually called Mara in the book. So she says in that verse, she says, call me Mara, don't call me Naomi, call me Mara. But no one ever calls her Mara. And her name, we can see in the books, her name is not actually changed. Despite the fact that she wants to be called this, and despite the fact that her feeling, her emotion, she is agreeing with it, this is her desire. She wants to stay in this place of bitterness and stay in this place of embracing maybe a new identity. It's never actually changed, meaning her true identity is still the pleasant one. So her true identity is still Naomi, the one with whom God deals pleasantly. It's interesting. She right after she says, call me Mara, don't call me Naomi, like I'm changing my name. The scripture goes on and says, but Naomi did this and Naomi that. And no, and when people refer to her, they don't ever refer to her as Mara. So I feel like it's God saying, hey, I know that you feel this way right now. You feel like your life is bitter, and you feel like your life will continue to stay bitter, but it's just not the truth. You are pleasant, and I am pleasant. You feel like I have made your life bitter, but I'm going to make your life pleasant. And the second thing to note here is when we read the whole story, we see that God has not finished dealing with her. She says, God has dealt bitterly with me. She thinks at this time of her life, God has finished dealing with her. That's the final word. All of what God has done so far is how God is dealing with her, and God has dealt with her. But the story goes on. God has not finished dealing with her. At this point in her life, she has made up her mind about God and about her life, bitter. But the story goes on. And when we read on, God does turn things around. At the end of this book, in Ruth chapter 4, I encourage you to read it on your own if you haven't done so. In Ruth chapter 4, God has turned everything around. And this is what it says in verse 13. So Boaz, this godly man, took Ruth, and she became his wife, and he went into her, and the Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to a son. And this is why it says in verse 14, then the women said to Naomi, blessed is the Lord who has not left you without a redeemer today. May his name become famous in Israel. So the women recognize and say, hey, Naomi, I remember you came back and you said God dealt bitterly with me. Call me Mara. But they're saying, but look, God has turned it around. He didn't leave you as this bitter, in this bitter situation. He didn't leave you without a redeemer. He provided for you. And he has turned things around. And basically, people are saying the Lord has blessed you. You are Naomi. You're not Mara. You are Naomi. You're pleasant. In verse 14, they go around, the neighbors go around shouting, Naomi has a son. It's a grandson, but that's how things, they were free with that. Naomi has a son. And we know, I mean, and so in that perspective, from Naomi's perspective, God's turned things around in the sense that he provided for her. And he provided for her daughter-in-law, and even the fact that her daughter-in-law stayed with her, right? God orchestrated that. But from our perspective, we can see not only was God providing for this one family, but through this incident, through how everything turned around and God's redeeming of this situation, King David, the messianic line is preserved, right? Because Ruth is the one that actually gives birth to Obed, who gives birth to Jesse, and then King David comes out of that line. And we know eventually that line produces Jesus. I remember when I was doing youth ministry, we had this one exercise that we did, which was basically on one piece of paper, you would write down kind of your past life. It's called cardboard testimony. So on one side, you say something that you've been dealing with, like I had cancer for 10 years, or I was filled with bitterness at my parents, or I was stealing from God, meaning I wasn't giving my tithes. And then they flip it around, and on the other side, it says, but God has set me free. God healed me of cancer, or I was childless for 10 years, but God has, but I am a father to 100 children through the youth ministry or something. They turn it around. And so we did that with our youth group students and had them kind of write something and see how God has turned it around. And I remember this one particular student. He had a hard life. His mom had just passed away, maybe a year or less than a year from cancer. And his relationship with his father wasn't great. He had to leave Hong Kong to go back to his home country. And so a lot of things were quite difficult, but I remember he, and he wasn't like a great Christian or anything. And a lot of the times I had a difficult time connecting with him, and I didn't even know if he would even participate in this exercise, but he did. And I can't quite remember what he wrote in the front, but it was just about the difficulty of his life and what's been going on. But he flipped it around and it said, "My story is not over." And I just remember think just being so touched. I was like, oh man. In a small way, he got it. He understood that his story wasn't done. God wasn't done with him. And he was gonna do something about it. That the life was gonna, there's gonna be a turnaround. And his story wasn't done at this time. Sometimes we wanna do what Mara does here. We want to wallow in whatever we're going through. We want to wallow in our self-pity. We want to stay. We want to embrace the negativity. We want to embrace the worry, the anxiety, the misery. There's part of that, right? When we're going through misery, there's some kind of comfort in embracing it. I mean, by my personality type or whatever, my nature, I'm a bit of a pessimistic person actually. So if when I'm going through a tough time, what I really want to do is put on some depressing music and just like stay in it, embrace it and think about it and meditate on it. And there is some kind of pleasure in that. And maybe in a way, in a small way, it is okay to do that because there is some wisdom in actually like accepting it and recognizing it, realizing that's what you're going through. And we have to do that, but it's not good if that just continues and it just you just embrace it all the way. You just take on self-pity and you keep staying in that place. And that's what Mara does here. Naomi, when she calls herself Mara, that's what she's doing. But what we see from this story is we don't have to do this. We can choose to identify instead with Naomi instead of Mara. I remember when Pastor Benjamin was in town many, many years ago. The very next book from this book, from the book of Ruth, the very next one is 1 Samuel. And 1 Samuel talks about this woman, Hannah, who was married to her husband, Elkanah, who also had a second wife named Peninnah. Peninnah was bearing a lot of children. Hannah could not bear children. And so Peninnah would constantly accuse Hannah and say, what's wrong with you? Look at me. I have all these children. You have none. Just making her life so bitter, accusing her and making her feel so sad. But Elkanah, her husband, loved her. No matter, it didn't matter that she couldn't bear children. He loved her. And so Peninnah would accuse, Elkanah would come to her with comfort and say, I don't care that you can't bear children. Isn't my love enough for you better than 10 sons? But Hannah, is not comforted. And the question that Pastor Benjamin asked us was, which table will you sit at? Will you sit at this table of Peninnah, listening to the accusation and the loss and what we cannot do, what we cannot produce, the fruit that we're not able to bear? Or will you sit at this table of Elkanah, the table of God, basically, who says to us, I don't care what you can and cannot do. Even if you cannot bear fruit, my love is unchanging. I love you no matter what. And I was so touched by that. But I think that same kind of question can apply here. Who will you join with? Which person, which name are you going to embrace in this time? Are you going to embrace the name of Mara and just sit in that place of questioning the goodness of God, doubting the goodness of God, and embracing that identity of, oh man, my life is bitter. God made my life bitter. I'm full of anxiety. What am I going to do? My life is always going to stay this way. Or will you join Naomi, the name Naomi, and say, despite what I feel and despite the situation, I'm going to trust that he is good, that my life will be pleasant because he is good. Pleasantness is ahead of me because he is a good God. I'm not just talking about like God's gonna make your life easy. It's not about God's just gonna give you nice things and that's why you can be pleasant and that's why you can call him good. The things that Naomi lost, the loss of Naomi is irreplaceable. Right? She lost her husband, and she lost her two sons, and she lost one of her daughters-in-law. These things are irreplaceable. There's nothing no good thing that comes into her life is going to replace the loss that she experienced. But in the middle of that, in the midst of all this tragedy and sorrow and hardship that came upon her, God was somehow in it and bringing something totally unexpected and good. So he's not replacing, God's not replacing what she has lost, but he is redeeming the situation, right? He's not replacing it, but he is redeeming it. And I guess I just this story, it just really hit me when I read about Naomi. Just in all of chapter one, she keeps declaring, man, God brought this upon me. God has made my life bitter. God is doing bad things to me. And just saying, God did this and my life is bitter. God made my life bitter. I guess I could identify with that, questioning the goodness of God. for whatever reason, my whole life, I questioned that. It's a struggle of mine to really hold on to it, believe it. But when you read the story, God turns it around. Naomi was mistaken. I feel like this first chapter is almost like a foreshadowing. She thinks all of, I don't know if that's the right word, but the opposite of foreshadowing. She thinks the truth is God has made her life bitter, but when, as you read on, it's like a twist. It's a twist ending, Did we think this is gonna be her life is bitter and things are gonna be so bad, but there's a big twist and God turns everything around, and God redeems her. God provides for her. One person that really speaks to me a lot is Bob Sorge. We've had Bob Sorge come and speak in our church maybe two, maybe three times. And why it's so powerful for me is here is a man who really has gone through a hard time. If anyone has a right to be a Mara, is Bob Sorge. I mean, he freak accident loses his voice as a pastor and a worship leader, loses his voice. No explanation for how this could have happened. And for decades, he's in this place. If anyone can say, God has made my life bitter, like this sucks, it's Sorge. But he, when you read his writings, when you see his videos, he is a firm believer in the fact that God is good, that he is merciful. There is a YouTube video, you can search it, the Book of Job. You can search Bob Sorge, Book of Job. One of his readers asks him a question. Do you see a God of mercy in the Book of Job? Do you see a God of mercy in the Book of Job? Basically, the question is, do you see a good God in the story of Job? And if I can take that question a step further, I think what the question, what the person is really asking is, do you see a good God in your story? Do you see a God of mercy in your story? And when you watch the video, Sorge makes a resounding yes. And I don't want to spoil the video for you, so I want you to go and watch it on your own time. But it's powerful. And it's so powerful that there's this person that life really has been difficult, but he chooses to stay in that place of trusting in the goodness of God. And it's encouragement to me, hopefully an encouragement to all of us, to hold on to the goodness of God. So I've asked Sam and Cardia to lead us in the song Goodness of God. It's actually perfect. Whoever was hosting this EMP played that song right before we started the message. I was able to meditate on that a little bit more, so I'm thankful for that. So let's worship, let's sing this song, and just want to encourage us to meditate on the goodness of God. Naomi is not rebuked for saying what she says. Naomi is not rebuked for saying, my life is bitter, God has made my life bitter. I think God understands. But and he still redeemed her life, right? God doesn't say, well, you said your name is Mara, so okay, well, Mara it is, bitter it is, your life is going to be bitter. He doesn't do that. He still redeemed her life. But when we're in that situation, I think it's better to stay in the place of Naomi, to stay in that place of worship, and just, I still trust you. And I hope that if you feel like a Mara this morning, that you would be able to take comfort in this story. So let's go to God in worship.
Sing of the goodness. Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, yes, I will see of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, so I will see of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In darkest nights, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend.
Thank you, Cardia. Let's pray. Let's just pray for our church, our community that's battling cancer, that's going through chemotherapy or radiotherapy. Let's pray for God's healing Let's pray for the goodness of God to come upon our peoples, and pray for God's mercy upon them. Let's pray. Let's go to the second slide. Let's pray for those that are ill, but that are also in need of salvation. Mostly our church members, friends, or their family members. Let's pray for God's mercy upon them, that God will reveal himself to them, and in healing, and also just in their heart, in their mind, something will be lifted, unveiled. They'll be able to see the mercy and the truth of God. Let's pray. Let's go to the next slide. Let's pray for various infirmities that our church members or the family members of our church members are going through. Let's pray for healing. Let's go to the fourth slide. Let's pray for those that are looking for a job. Let's pray for God's provision for our friends. Let's go to the Tuesday prayer focus. Let's pray for Hong Kong. Let's pray for the government, especially in this time of kind of maybe the last phase of COVID-19. Let's pray for wisdom, the fear of God to be upon our leaders. They'll be able to make good decisions. Let's pray against the wealth gap in our city. Let's pray for revival. Let's pray for the churches and all the different ministries this year. Let's pray for the helpers and families in distress, the students, the young people that have their exams soon. Let's pray for God's mercy in our land. Let's pray for the staff. Let's pray for Pastor Sam, first of all, that he will be able to hear and lead as the Holy Spirit leads him. And let's pray for the rest of us that we would be able to stay united with one heart, stay close to God, that we would lead from a place of intimacy with God. Let's pray for faith, you know, that we'll all be led by faith in God. So let's pray for our staff. Let's pray for the hospitality team as we start back, hopefully by the end of this month, you know, that they will be ready, especially the welcoming team. The barista team will be on break for a while, but let's pray that when they come back, you know, that they'll be in a good place. Let's just pray for the worship team as well. Let's pray for the worship team, the sound team, and the AV team as we get ready to come back also. That we would be in a good place, and that we would, first of all, worship God on our own, and that it will come out of our public worship. Okay, let's pray for both 3 and 4. Let's pray for our house churches meeting today. Let's pray for a really wonderful time of gathering. Let's pray for all the leaders to be able to discern what to do in this time, whether to meet in person or to continue another way. But let's just pray for God's mercy and leadership. And let's pray that it will be an amazing time today. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for this time. We love you. We give this day to you. I just wanted to end with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. I think I messed it up. Sorry. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those that have sinned against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Father God, thank you. Yeah, we love you. Bless each person this day. In Jesus' name we pray.